going to have a little something tonight. I'm asking and soliciting participation. So this mic, I'm going to be up there, but I'm going to hand this mic to Walter. So when you have your comment, Walter's going to run over to you with this mic because you're being recorded. So here you go, Walter. Walt, yeah. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it on now. You just simply hold that button. So if somebody should want to say something, just run over to it and give it to them. So my name is Glenn. Pastor Jonathan called me last week and asked me if I would do this. And I agreed. I don't know if I showed up or not. We'll see. But there was this guy. Actually, there's three guys. And they were they're in the hospital, and they're expecting their wives to deliver at any moment. So these guys are sitting in the room, and the first nurse comes in. She says, "Mr. Jones, you have twins." He said, "Twins?" He says, "That's so ironic. Thank you, Lord. I work on the staff of the Minnesota Twins. That's incredible." He said, "Oh, well, good." Pretty soon another nurse walks in. She goes, "Mr. Stevens, you have triplets." He said, "This is crazy. I can't believe it. I'm having triplets. Listen to this. I work for AAA. This is phenomenal." The next guy gets up and he starts walking out the door. "Where are you going, Mr. Smith?" He said, "I work at 7-Eleven. Okay. Well, we have been talking about trusting God. Talking about trusting. I think Pastor Richie, when he started off this series of trusting, he talked about giving, trusting God with your giving. Pastor Jonathan, when he was up here speaking, he spoke about waiting, patiently trusting and waiting on the Lord. And last Sunday, I had to work, but Megan was up here, and she talked about trusting the Lord with your children. So we're going to continue tonight with trusting the Lord. Now I'm going to back up a little bit to come forward, because I'm going to make the assumption here that people are saved, that you said yes to Jesus Christ. Well, if not, this message is still for you. But the idea is that there's something called salvation. You will be saved from the wrath of God. But salvation is like a big gift wrap package. Like on Christmas morning, you got your child, your grandchildren. They got this package there. And he don't know what it's all about. He just sees this package. So you got to coax them a little bit to rip the package open. Got to coax them a little bit to look inside, because there's contents. There's items that are inside. Well, that's the way salvation is. As you come to know the Lord, you begin to find out there's an array of items available to us who have received the Lord. You sometimes have seen baseball, professional players, where they'll pitch that ball at 90 miles per hour. Or you've seen softball, where they have something called slow pitch. Or you got your little one and you're doing something less than slow pitch just so they can get a swing at it. Well, that's what the Lord has done with us. He's pitched us something really slow because he wants to see a return. He wants to see something come back from what he's given us. We're going to look at something tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. Before I go any further, For those of you who have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you do not have your Bible with you, maybe you have an iPhone or a phone, or you might have an iPad or some kind of electronic device. But I want to encourage you to carry the word. When you come to church, bring a Bible. It's meant to be encouraging. There's a reason for it. It concerns me a little bit because in the church, I think our culture's slipping a little bit and we're taking some things for granted. But this word of God is from God Almighty, and he's given that to us. They call it his love letter. There's so much in here for you. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, I'm going to read it, and here's what it says. And he, the Lord, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors, and teachers to equip the saints. So he mentions five offices to minister and to equip the body of Christ. He says, I'm going to give you some prophets. I'm going to give you some evangelists. I'm going to give you some preachers and teachers. I'm going to give you these things so that you can be equipped, so that you can be ready to go out and fulfill a certain something called the kingdom agenda. See, Satan has a kingdom and he has an agenda. Well, God does too. So the Lord has specifically put these offices in place so that you would be ready to go forth, equipped to present the kingdom agenda. But over in the book of Matthew chapter 25, we're going to go there. I have a question I want to ask you. And this is where you come in, Walt. And then this is where you're going to come in. And I really solicit your participation. I'm going to ask you, what is trusting? And I really want to hear some answers. What is trusting? What is trusting God? Let's put it that way. What is trusting God? Anybody? Raise your hand. He's going to come over here and hand you a mic. You might want to sing your favorite song. I don't know. What is trusting God? Soliciting your participation. What is trusting God? There we go. Thank you.
I'm just taking a guess, but I'd say faith.
Faith?
Yeah.
Okay, faith. Can you elaborate on that when you say faith?
Just putting your faith in God and your trust in him to do what he has called upon for you.
Okay. Thank you. Mike? What is trusting God?
Just to like lean on, just like you were to lean on this chair, you're putting your trust.
Okay. Okay.
And he's going to support you.
Okay. Okay. See another brother right there, another brother right up here. No. You change your mind, man? Oh, I thought he did.
Hello. Hello. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So to me, that means faith and trust in God means that no matter what happens, you can believe that God's going to come through for you. He's going to be there for you. If you believe in him, he's going to do for you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Me, trusting.
Yeah, just hold right up your mouth.
Testing. To me, trusting God is knowing that no matter how bad I screw up or how bad things get, as long as I believe that Jesus died on that cross for me, then I'm going to be okay.
Okay.
That's what it is to me.
All right. Amen. Anybody else? Ooh, here we go. Over here. Bless you, bless you.
Trusting God is you put all confidence, all belief in God. When you trust somebody, you just, whatever they do, you have all confidence that they will do it in your favor, for your benefit, as you decide to be with him mm-hmm. in all thy ways. You acknowledge him, as the scripture says, and lead not to our own understanding, for he will always guide our paths to the right place.
Okay. Every one of you, what you said was true. I'm going to give you my definition, and I'm going to put it on a nutshell, and you'll go, ooh, Trusting God, to me, is taking God at his word. You take God at his word. That's trusting God. See, God is obligated to himself. He even said, since there was no one else greater, I swore by myself. Taking God at his word. See, there's a couple of things that happen when you begin to take God at his word. One, you're starting to see an open manifestation of God in your life. You will see it. Two, others will see an open manifestation of God doing something in your life. Sometimes you can look back and you can see a year ago, look where I am today and look at the changes that God has made in my life. Or you may know somebody. You can see a difference in their life. And what they did was they trusted God and they began to do certain things scripturally that you begin to see there's been a visible change in this person's life. And it's really obvious. Turn to Matthew. If you have your Bible, or your phone, or your iPad. And let's go to Matthew chapter 25. If I ask you about trusting God, can you think of any examples in the Bible of anybody that trusted God?
Job.
Peter. Very good. Who? Peter. Job. Peter. Who else? Yeah. Who?
Abraham.
Yes. Who?
David.
Okay. Here's the point I'm trying to make. I had three in mind. You said Job. I had Job in mind. I thought about Joseph. You know? I don't know if you know the story of what Joseph went through. You probably can recall. Joseph was thrown in a pit to die, you know, and then his brother sold him off into slavery. And then he rose to a prominent position in a leader's life, and he ended up getting lied on and got thrown in the jail of jails and lived there for an extended period of time before he came out of there. And God exalted him to the second highest position in the nation. I look at Job and what he went through. His whole family got killed. And the enemy allowed some things to happen there, but Job's wife even said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But he held on to the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And Abraham, look what he went through. He even lied a couple times because he was worried about his own skin. He said, "Oh, that's my sister." Well, it was sort of, but it wasn't the truth. As they say, anything that's tainted, even if it's gray, it's still not the truth. You know? So the idea is you had people in the Bible who we have examples, and as you quoted, somebody quoted Hebrews. Somebody quoted in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for. From that area, that's called the Hall of Faith. And in that particular chapter, there's some things mentioned about Abraham and some of the some of the men of faith who stood trusting God. So now let's look at chapter 25 in Matthew, and I'm going to start reading in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another two talents, to another one. It's 1 talent. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. So somebody showed up and said, I'm going to give you 5 talents, I'm going to give you 2 talents, and I'm going to give you 1 talent. See you when I get back. He was gone for an extended period of time. I'm going to pick up 8:16. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. A talent's value was approximately 20 years worth of wages. So he gave them a lot of money. And he says, I want you to go ahead and do something with this. So if you had a talent today, you'd be a millionaire. That's how valuable it was. Let me go ahead. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 1 talent came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. So here you have what is yours. So he gave him back his 1 talent. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have at least received what I had with interest, what I gave you with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who had the 10 talents, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, since we've been talking about trusting God, every one of us have something in common. These talents here are referred to as abilities. What we're going to look at and talk about is God has given each and every one of us time and treasures, and he's given us talent. Every one of us have something. God did not leave us without. If you look at verse 15, it says something. It says, to one he gave the 5 talents, to another. So what I meant to say was, and I may have, God has given each one of us time talents, and treasure. Turn it down a little bit, a little reverb. So each and every one of us have the ability. So here was this, well, parables, you know, represent what? It's an earthly message, but it's heaven sent. There's other ways to say that, but the idea was God shows up and gives each and every one of us ability. Are you trusting God with your time? Are you trusting God with your talent or your abilities? Are you trusting God with your treasures? Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. But a lot of times we read that and we don't look at that close enough. But he said, give and it shall be given to you. What is it? It could be your time. It could be your talent. It could be your treasures. See, a lot of times we think, well, if I give, it has to be financial. Well, yes, but you can give of your time. Spend a little time in the Word. Make that sacrifice where you begin to open up the Word of God and study the Word of God. Or maybe your abilities. You know, one of the things we're doing at this church, which we emphasize, is connect, grow, and serve. Get connected. Get involved. We have a men's group that meet every Tuesday and Thursday. Plug in so that you begin to grow. You begin to see the Lord show you where you should be serving. Connect, grow, and serve. But the idea is, for us as believers, we have a gift of salvation, and in that package that we unwrap, God has given us time, talent, and treasures. And it's up to us to take some responsibility. And what I found really interesting when I was reading this, listen to this. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another, to each according to his ability. So isn't that interesting? So the guy that he gave the 1 talent to, why didn't he give him the 5? Or the one guy that had the 1 talent, the 2 talents, why didn't he give him the 1? But he said he gave each and every person according to his ability. But then it said the one guy who got the 5 talents, look what he did right away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So he didn't even hesitate. When the Lord gave him what he was gone. He says, man, I'm going to do that. He answered the call immediately. But it doesn't say that with the person who received the 2 talents. What it says is, when the day come and he stood before the Lord, he said, hey, I got you 2 more. Here's 4. Okay? Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, this is just my perspective, but I'm thinking God doesn't have to do anything. So God's not just going to give you something and back off and watch you. I believe God was assisting them still in what they had to accomplish. So did he help them? I believe he did. That's just the way the Lord is. It was his in the first place. But he's looking at something else, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But that one gentleman, and you'll also read a similar account in the book of Luke, chapter 19, and he talks about how guy who owned property just like this one. He said he called before him 10 servants. And he says, I'm going to give you 10 minas. I'm going to give, I think it was 10. He called 10 servants, and he gave each one of them minas. Don't quote me on the 10 minas. But he gave each, and mina was basically 100 days worth of wages. And right away, one guy went out, and he turned it into something else. Another guy went out and did it, but there was another one that showed up and said, well, he did like this one who received the one talent. Well, what I did, and the Bible says over in Luke that he put it in a napkin. So you know how I kind of see that? There's a lot of times I reach out and say, hey, man, you want to do it? No, no. And what ends up happening is they wrap it in a napkin of excuses, and they bury it. And the Lord never has a chance to use them. But the day is coming when we will stand before that God. He says, what'd you do with the talent I gave you? You know, there's been a few examples in the Bible where people who said, you know what, Jonah, I think I'm going to try to go this way. And the Lord dealt with him. Moses, remember Moses? Moses, I need you to go. Look, Lord, I have a speech impediment and I really can't do it. Okay, well, I'm going to give you Aaron. But you're going to get the job done. But the Lord still used him. He had a talent. And oftentimes, we want to look at ourselves and think that we can't do the job. But God has called each and every one of us to fit so that we can carry out the purpose of the kingdom agenda. God has that anointing on your life, each and every one of us. But I will say this. I will say this. For each and every one of us, when you start finding out what your talent and ability is in the Lord, it's going to come with a test. Every one of those people that are in the Bible who experienced God. And to be honest, that's a good place to be. You get to experience the living God. Look at Joseph and what he went through. The Lord gave him a dream. He told his brothers, they rebuked him. They said, who do you think you are? And he had a couple of dreams. He held on to it. Job would not deny the Lord. And it said Job ended up with twice as much is what he had from the very beginning. And one of my favorite characters in the Bible was Abraham. Abraham, I want you to go sacrifice your son. I want you to go. And Abraham said, okay, Lord. And his son even said, hey, Dad, I don't see the sacrifice. Where is it? Oh, the Lord will provide, you know. And he took his son up there and tied him up and getting ready to cut his throat. And just when he was getting ready to cut his throat, God said, stay your hand. Now, I found that rather interesting. And sometimes I repeat myself and I say these things. And the reason why is because I see that God repeats himself from time to time. So I'm going to take that license too. But I think this is worth mentioning. When he was getting ready to cut his throat and God said, stay your hand, he goes, now I know that you won't hold anything from me. I'm just going to ask you a question. Does God know everything? God knows everything. You mean to tell me he didn't know what he was going to do? I don't think that was it. Here's what I think was taking place. Now I know you won't hold everything back from me. It was a revelation for him. So you might have to be in that place where you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to have to trust God on this one. I see it right in front of me. What are you going to do with it? You going to take advantage of it? Or are you going to bury it in a napkin of excuses? Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son, and God stopped him, and Abraham knew. Why? It says over in Hebrews that he had already received him in a type and a vision, and he said, you know what? If I sacrifice him, he said that through me, my descendants will come. So God's able to raise him from the dead. He took God at his word. Took God at his word. Trusting God. Trusting God. He is able. And he has no respecter of persons. So what he did for Abraham, he'll do for you. But it's having that relationship with the Lord where you begin to experience God. And pretty soon you'll be standing up there with your mouth full of a testimony to encourage somebody else that Jesus Christ is real. He is real. He is not a plaything. Something else I thought rather interesting about that. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, and even though God is God Almighty, there's something that God has not experienced. Whoa. Yeah, really. I'm not trying to sound blasphemous. But there's something that God hasn't experienced. And you know what he hasn't experienced? Your obedience. He's waiting to see your obedience so that you can see it. God hasn't experienced that yet. Amen? Okay. So we want to be like the servants who received five talents. The other one who received the two talents, they did something with it. And I have to admit, I hear people say oftentimes, gosh, what is God's will? I really think it's relatively easy to find out what God's will is for your life. Get connected, start getting involved and growing, and pretty soon you will feel a passion or a prompt or an unction in your life, and you'll wonder, how did I end up in this place? I never thought I would be overseeing the men's ministry, but that's where I'm at. I know a dear brother in the Lord. He did some time. He had an extended bid, and he got out, and he went to this church for a good while. Talking about Tom Lovato. He went to this church for a while. He got married, he decided, I'm going to adopt a child. So they adopted a child, and he said, you know, I'm not going to raise my child here in Las Vegas. So he up and moved to, I believe it's Indiana. I see him on Facebook from time to time, and we communicate from time to time. But the thing of it is, he is now writing CDs. He is writing music, and people are purchasing his music. Look what God has done for him. And I mean, I saw him the other day. He was, you know, it was one of those live feeds. He's up there leading the band and singing and doing his thing. God has used him. Why? Why? Because he trusted God. Where are we going with this, Lord? And he continued. Look what God has done with him. And we sometimes sell God short because we don't think he can use us. Anytime you got a God who said, I poured all the water in the earth out with the hollow of my hand. I flung all the stars out in heaven. And I know each and every one of them. Oh, by the way, I calculated the weight of the earth with a speck of dust. He is God Almighty. He knows what he can do with you. It's just a matter of yielding and surrendering. But I want to go a little further. If you will go to, stay in that book, Matthew, but go to chapter 13. And I'm going to start reading in verse 14. Listen to this. Listen to this. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? It's a heavenly message now, all right? Then he said, and he answered them, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Who do you think he's talking about? To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom. He's talking to you, the ecclesia, the called out ones. You, the born again believers. I've given you the secrets. Watch what else he says here. For to the one who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Didn't we just kind of read that earlier? Where he doubled up one guy, another guy, he totally took it away from him. Completely. Let's go on. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. Now, that don't make no sense. Seeing, they do not see. But then, watch him, he's going to go on now. And hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand. Uh-oh, he's starting to show something now. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled by saying this. You will indeed hear, but not understand. And you will indeed see, but not perceive. So now he's saying, you might hear, but you're not listening. Because you're not interested in understanding. But then again, you might see it, but you're not beholding it. You're not seeing. You ever, it's time to time, you know, you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and they'll say things like, well, man, I'm spiritual. They'll say that. But in all actuality, they're blind. They're not perceiving, or they would see the seriousness of the gospel, and they would receive Christ as their Savior. We want to perceive. So it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Why? Because God will let you see. His Holy Spirit will allow you to perceive. And he will grant you understanding. Here's the biggie. Check this one out. Perceiving. Watch this. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and I should turn and heal it. So here's the real problem. It's a heart condition. It's a heart problem, the reason they're not perceiving. It's a heart condition, the reason why people aren't understanding that gospel. You may, and I have to read it, you will give your heart to the Lord and you will begin to perceive scripture. You begin to seek after the Lord. And here's what he says in Galatians. And I think this is really something for you to perceive and something for you to know. Listen to this. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So you're pursuing the Lord and it doesn't look right and you decide to quit. Where's your perception? Where's your perception? You got to hang in there. God says, it's coming. I remember a guy once years ago who he planted so many weeds, acres and acres of weeds. He did one good thing and said, God, how come? He asked me, Glenn, how come God ain't blessing me? Well, the guy had years worth of mayhem in people's lives, and he did one little good thing, and he wanted to see a blessing. Well, a lot of times in our lives, we sometimes wonder where God is, or that he didn't go on a fishing trip or something. Where is the Lord? How come? But the Lord says, I'm faithful. Look what I did with Joseph. Look what I did with Abraham. Look what I did with Job. God is faithful and he honors his word. He is obligated to himself. He's given each and every one of us talents and abilities. He's given us treasures. What will you do with that treasure? Do you trust God with your treasure? Years ago when I was a single man, I said, well, do I give this 100 to the Lord? Or do I fly on to Detroit and visit my family? Then from my family, I'm going to travel from there and go on to New York. What do I do? You know what? I'm going to tithe. I went ahead and gave up my tithe. Well, I got to Detroit. I never said a word. My aunt walked up to me after I was there about 2 or 3 days. She just handed me some cash. Whoa. I never told her. See, when I went on that airplane, you can hear change. That's all I had was change. I didn't have any money. I think I had about $13 or $14 in change. But when I got to Detroit, my aunt handed me some money. But ooh, that ain't the rest of the story. When I flew from Detroit to New York, this is a miracle. I'm talking about experiencing God. The airline said I already paid. I ain't paid. I didn't pay them. Sent them a check anyway. Guess what they did? They sent the check back. Trust God. You will experience God. And it puts a testimony in your mouth to be able to tell somebody. I'm telling you the truth. I won't stand up here and lie. If that's the case, man, I get struck with lightning or something. You know. I'm trying to encourage you. You have the time. Do you trust God with your time? Do you trust God with your ability? Do you trust God with your treasure? I have other stories I can tell you where I decided just to go ahead and give to God and see what he's going to do. And he blows my mind all the time. My wife and I were going through some financial difficulties, and she said, ooh, well, we're going to be able to pay the mortgage, but after that, I don't know what we're going to do. And the next day she calls me and says, hey, guess what? There's a check in the mail. Right on time. You remember that? We got it from our mortgage company. Remember now? Oh, well, I remember. Don't let this gray hair fool you. I remember. But the Lord, I'm going to read something else. 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God said, I'm going to reward you. Take your talent, your treasures, your ability, your time, and give it to me. Trust me and watch what I can do in your life. Just trust me. Give me a shot. Yeah, it's It's going to cost you some time. There might be some setbacks, but God's just sitting there saying, now I know that you know you'll trust me. He'll do that for you. He's real. He is an active, living God. I'm going to read this to you. And I'm basically going to be done. Listen to this. What more was there to do for my vineyard? Vineyard? Okay. Let's start over. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? I've already done a whole lot. What else can I do? I've done wonders with it. What else can I do in my vineyard that I have not already done in it? When I look for it to yield grapes, why does it not yield any grapes, but yet wild grapes? God's sometimes wondering, how come? How come? Why don't you give me a shot and trust me? Can we trust him? Absolutely, we can trust him because we take him at his word. We can trust a living God. I don't want to stand before a living God and have to say, well, I buried him in some excuses over there, Lord. He says, I know where they are. So he's a living God. You read in the Psalms where how much he loves you and how he thinks about you more in one day than there is sand on the sea. He says that in the Psalms. I think it's Psalms 139 or something like that. This God loves you, and he wants the opportunity to show himself strong in your life. So, with that, I'm done. I hope you folks can grab a hold of that and be encouraged, that you would begin to perceive, seek after the Lord. I heard one of my favorite preachers say something, and I'm seeing it happen today, where people are thinking with their eyes and they're seeing with their emotions. You know, we have to be different. We have to be different. We're the ecclesia. We're the called out ones. We have to perceive. We got to have hearts of understanding. Amen.